And that would, that might do something, I don't know. Psalm 119, you'll begin reading in verse number 89. Verse number 89, we'll read these eight verses. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, if you don't know that verse by heart, you ought to know it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thine servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray tonight we'd get something from heaven tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm 119, all of the chapter, 176 verses, all of them deal with the Bible, the Word of God. We consider ourselves here at Holy Hills a Bible-believing church. We stand on the Bible. We preach the Bible. And a lot of churches say they do, but they don't preach the Bible. They don't make an issue about the Bible. We do here. And we believe the Bible is the final authority of all matters of faith and practice, and this is the answer for all things. And so we look at the Bible, and we see here in Psalm 119, every one of these has to do with the Word of God. The Word of God is important. It is, in this particular section of eight verses, you'll see the endurance of the Word of God. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so here in verse number 89, verse 90, verse 91, you'll see the permanence of the Word of God. It is forever. Some of the things that we've experienced here the last little bit, the Supreme Court and all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, God had already made a ruling in heaven long before the words ever got on the paper. You see, they could come and they can destroy every Bible on this earth, but there will still be a copy in heaven. His word is forever settled in heaven. It's already settled. You can't debate it. There's nothing you can question. You can change this Bible. You can over probably 400 different versions of the Bible, but God only has one that's settled in heaven. Now, you may not like that, and you say, well, that's God, you know, it's all words. No, friend, there ain't but one. There ain't but one God. There's not but one Jesus Christ. There's not but one Holy Spirit, and he only wrote one Bible. And he says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Settled where? It's settled in heaven. It's settled on this earth. It's settled. It's established. It's permanent. There was a fella in Paris, France, Valdaire. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he was born in 1694, and he was a very intelligent man and one of France's greatest writers and philosophers. And this is what he said about the Bible. He said, in 50 years, I'll have this book in a morgue. 50 years later, Valdaire was dead, and his home that he lived in was being used by the Geneva Bible Society to store Bibles. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You may try to get rid of it, but you'll get rid of you before you'll get rid of that. And it's settled in heaven, it's settled in earth, and it's settled in creation. If you'll look in verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The earth, I don't know if you realize this and it, but this or not, it's just hanging out there. God put it out there, and it's just hanging out there. Nothing under it, nothing above it, just hanging there. The stars are just hanging there, and it abideth. He established all of that in the universe and the Milky Way, put it on dress display, and all of it's just hanging there, and it abideth just by the very word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God said with his mouth, let there be light, and there was light. Way before 1611, way before time ever began, the Word of God was in heaven. This is more than just a book. It's more than something just to lay on the coffee table and collect dust. I wouldn't put a drink on it. I wouldn't set it, use it as a coaster. I wouldn't put anything on top of the Bible. You say you worship the Bible. I worship the God of the Bible forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then you got verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. Basically, what he said was, I would have pulled my hair out if it wouldn't have been for that Bible. That's how he said it. Not only the permanence of the Word of God, but the protection of the Word of God in verse 92. The protection of the Word of God. He said, unless thy law had been my delights, unless I had been reading that thing every morning, every night before I went to bed, I would have died in my affliction if I wouldn't have delighted in that Bible. It'll be a rock to you. It'll be an anchor to you if you'll let it. Not only the permanence of the Word of God, the protection of the Word of God, but there's the power of the Word of God in verse 93 and 94, 95. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. It'll bring life to you. That Bible right there, you couldn't have been saved without that Bible. That Bible speaks life. That Bible, give us the plan of salvation. That Bible, the words on that page are life. It'll bring life. It'll bring deliverance. And then you'll see the last thing. You'll say, why are you hurrying? Because I got something else I want to show you. You got the permanence of the Word of God. You got the protection of the Word of God. You got the power of the Word of God in verse 93, 94, 95. And then in verse 96, you got the perfection of the Word of God. The perfection. Look at verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. You know what he said? He said, I've seen things created that were perfect. And over time, they cease to be perfect because they disintegrate. But he said, when I look at that Bible and I look at thy word, perfection has not gone from this Bible. It is broad. Now, stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Don't get excited. There's not a lot of perfect things. Now, you may think you're perfect. But just memorize this verse, if you would. I have seen an end to all perfection. You may think you're perfect at 20. Just wait till you get 80. And there will be an end to all perfection. But what the psalmist said was, when I look at that Bible is just like it was put on page. It is perfect. Every word is inspired. It's inerrant. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried as a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That means God promised us to give us His Bible. People say, oh, you go to the bookstore, you get any Bible on the shelf, just pick one, all of it's God's Word. All of it can't be God's Word. There ain't but two Bibles in the whole world. You say, well, you just told us there's 400 translations. There's over 400 translations. There ain't but two Bibles. Either it come from Antioch, Syria, or Alexandria, Egypt. And we were first called Christians in Alexandria, in Antioch, Syria. Amen. And you don't want anything that come out of Alexandria, Egypt. I guarantee you. Well, the Bible says it's perfect. Pure words. Do you know that Bible has 30, let's see, Old Testament. Old is three letters. Testament is 9. That's 39. That's 39 Old Testament books. Old Testament. You're thinking, well, New Testament's the same thing. Well, in the New Testament, you got Jesus Christ. He's a multiplier. So you got to say 3 times 9 is 27. There's 27 New Testament books in the Bible. Well, hallelujah. Well, did y'all realize this? Y'all say, well, that Bible, you got an English Bible. Preacher, you're putting too much emphasis on an English, on the English. Don't you know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Koine Greek? I said, well, I sure do. So let's see where God puts the emphasis. Take your Bible and look at Matthew 23. Look at Matthew 23. Now, in the Hebrew, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters. Aleph to Tau. That's A to T. Hebrew. Now, I may look like I rolled to town on a load of pumpkins. But all you got to do is learn how to read, and we'll see what God puts the emphasis in Matthew 23. You've got 22 Hebrew letters, Aleph to Tau, and that is A to T. And then the Greek letters has 24 Greek letters, Alpha to Omega. That's A to O. Well, our English is 26 letters, A to what? All right, Matthew 23. Oh, look about verse number 33. Oh, Jesus is really, I'm talking about Jesus is nice, preaching a real nice sermon. Honey is dripping out of his mouth in verse 33. You serpents, you generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Woo, wouldn't you like to heard that sermon? Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. That's A to Z. God didn't even recognize the Greek or the Hebrew. He went straight to the English and said from A to Z. Well, hallelujah. Well, look at 1 John 5 and verse 7. Look at 1 John 5 and say, we're talking about the Word of God. I done got excited over the Word of God tonight. 1 John 5. And verse number 7, they say 1 John 5, 7 is not supposed to be in the Bible. Well, I'm fixing to show you that it's supposed to be in the Bible. 1 John 5 and verse number 7 talks about the Trinity. 1 John 5, verse 7. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, Father capitalized. The Word is the Word capitalized. And the Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost capitalized. All right. And these three are one. We worship one God. Manifest three personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Or as 1 John 5, 7 puts it, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Well, there are, I tell you what, let's see if we can find out why that is in there. Look at, hold your plate, look at Revelation. Just turn to the right just a little bit. Revelation 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, verse 8. We're talking about the Bible. So what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get you excited about that last point, the perfection of the Word of God. Look at Revelation 1, verse 8. Jesus talking, I am Alpha and Omega. That's Greek. Alpha, and when he wants you to know Greek, he'll put Greek in there for you. If he don't, then you don't need to know it. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. What is Alpha and Omega? Keep reading. The beginning and the ending. Y'all see that? The beginning and the ending. Well, let me ask y'all a question. Jesus Christ, John 1:1, in the beginning was the what? The Word. So the Word. He's the Word, but he's the beginning of the Word and he's the end of the Word. And everything in between those two points. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Look at verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. And this time he changes it up. So if you don't know what the beginning and the ending is, in verse number 11, he'll tell you what the beginning and the ending is. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. All right? Now, look at Revelation 21, verse 6. 21, verse 6. Jesus says this again. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Y'all see that? Now, he said that three times. Now, look at 22. Chapter 22, verse 13. Now, this is Wednesday night Bible study, right? 22:13, he says both of them. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Y'all see that? All right. Somebody, if he's the beginning and he's the end, and everything in between, then the first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Does anybody know how many words that is? How many? 10. All right, y'all remember that. 10. He's the first, that's the first verse, that's 10, and the last. Look at the last verse, Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Anybody know how many words that is? No, it's 12. Let me help you. Because I don't have time for everybody to count. Some of y'all didn't go, some of y'all been to different schools, different counties. Amen. Genesis 1:1 got 10 words in it. Genesis 22:21 got 12 words. Am I right? That's how many words total? 22, right? Do what I say. Revelation 22:21 has 12 words in it. Genesis 1:1 has 10 words in it, has 22 words. And it's talking about Jesus Christ, which is the Word, and there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7 has 22 words in it. Matter of fact, if that doesn't impress you, 1 John 5:7 has 1 John 5:7 has 88 letters in the verse. Genesis 1:1 has 44 letters. Revelation 22:21 has 44 letters. Now, let me just help y'all just a minute. Let me try to pull this in together. Moses wrote Genesis about 1500 B.C. before Christ. John on the Isle of Patmos wrote John about 90 A.D. after the birth. 90 years after the birth. Moses wrote 1500 before the birth. And just so y'all don't think, they didn't call one another and say, be sure and put 22 words in there. Now, for those of you that may be wondering, can you do that with any verse? You can't do that but with one. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying you can't do that but with one. Well, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say you can't do that but with one. Now, some said, well, why is there 66 books in the Bible? 66 books in the Bible. it shouldn't there have been more? The Catholic Church says there's supposed to have been more in there than 66. Well, look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is some new stuff that I've been looking at. And we'll probably be incorporating this in the King James Bible study. But look at John chapter 1, verse number 1. There are five verses right there before the context changes. First five verses. And then verse 6 starts talking about there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Talking about John. It goes to a different subject. The first five verses. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. The Word. Capital W-O-R-D. That's Jesus Christ. The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then it pauses and goes to a different subject in verse 6, talking about there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So the first five verses talking about the Word, Jesus Christ, and there are three times God is mentioned, three times the Word is mentioned, and three times the Him is H-I-M, Him is mentioned. That's the Trinity. You count them. Three times God, three times the Word, three times Him in five verses. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Well, who does it say created all things? The Word. From verse 1 to verse 5. I did it this afternoon. You can do it later. Don't do it now. There are 66 words in the first five verses talking about the Word. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited on my own preaching. Well, let me just help you with this. I was looking at this. Now, this is all from the start. Y'all see this thing right here? That's the golden lampstand. It's found in Exodus 25. Exodus 25 talks about how many lights are supposed to be on this thing and how many bowls. Let me speed this up for you. On each one of these little deals right here is nine things. Three bowls, three flowers, and three knobs. That's nine, nine, nine. Y'all see that? Three nines is what? 27. All right? There is three, 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 and three. That's how many? 12. 12 in that center one. If you add that 12... to the 27, what you got? How many? 39. 39 Old Testament books. Right there. 9, 9, and 9 is how many? 27 New Testament books. And all of it is how many? I'm just feeling goosebumpy. Now, you'll just have to read Exodus 25 to get all that. And it tells three flowers, three bowls, three knobs, whatever they call. And you can see the lamp. You say, well, what's the big deal about the lamp? The lamp was the only light in the tabernacle. Otherwise, it had been dark. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know if we didn't have this Bible? And you know why? You say, preacher, I've heard preachers preach. It's getting dark out there. It's because you can't find this one very much anymore. Hallelujah. Well, in Leviticus 24, it tells us, Leviticus 24, about verse number 5 over there, talks about the table of showbread. Look, you just have to look at it. Look at Leviticus. What time is it? Oh, it's preaching time. Leviticus 24, look at this. Verse number 5. Oh, I just got to. Leviticus 24, verse number 5. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereon. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row. 6 on a row. So there is 6 on this row and 6 on this row. Y'all see 66. Wait, don't forget to keep reading. Verse 6, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. If it ain't a pure table, it'll have more than 66. Hallelujah. Well, Isaiah has 66 books in it. Some of y'all have heard this one, but in Isaiah chapter number 1, it talks about the creation, heaven and earth. That matches with the first book, Genesis. Isaiah 40:4-0, talks about the voice in the wilderness, John the Baptist crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You know where John the Baptist shows up? In the book of Matthew. The 40th book of the Bible. Isaiah 66 says, oh, new heavens and new earth. Matches with Revelation. New heaven, new earth. Isaiah 66, the miniature Bible. Well, some of you are not really just enthused. So I'm going to keep going till you get enthused. Genesis starts out with a blessing, creation, ends with a curse. Revelation starts, blessed is he that readeth the words of the prophecy of this book. And it ends with, if you add to, take away, as a curse. In Genesis 1:16, don't have time to turn there, but Genesis 1:16 talks about, and he made the stars also. Revelation 1:16 talks about stars. Genesis 11, God calls out a man by the name of Abram, calls him out to another country. Revelation 11, there's 2 witnesses God calls out to another country. Well, hallelujah. Genesis 13 has 18 verses in it. Y'all want to take a wild guess of how many Revelation 13 has? 18 verses. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. You say, what are you trying to get us to see? I'm trying to get you to see that man didn't write this Bible. They might have been holding the pen, but they wasn't making it twirl around and make words on the page. Hallelujah. Y'all got time to see one more. Genesis 22, you know, turn there because everybody knows Genesis 22 is Abraham took his son on Mount Moriah and so on and so forth. Genesis 22 is the first time the word lamb is mentioned. And it's mentioned twice. It's mentioned in verse 7 and verse 8. Revelation 22, the Lamb of God is mentioned 2 times. Verses 1 and verses 3. Genesis 22, twice lamb. Revelation 22, twice lamb. That's an amazing book. All through that whole thing. You can go through there. Look at this one. Look at Genesis real quick. Look at this one. Genesis 1. I'm just feeling like going into second gear. He said, "Preacher, what are you trying?" Listen, let me just be real honest with you. In the day and in the hour we're living in, it's past time for half-hearted, half-in Christianity. Either we get in this Bible and study it, or we can gripe and complain about the Muslims and the Supreme Court all we want to, and half-hearted Christians are doing more damage to this country, not reading your Bible, leaving it on the coffee table, collecting dust. You're doing more damage to Christianity. You're doing more damage to this world than a Muslim ever thought about doing. Well, hallelujah. Genesis 1. Let me see if I can help you. God is mentioned in the first 12 verses. The first verse, God's not mentioned. Somebody tell me. 13. Y'all ever heard that 13 is a bad number? 13. Does anybody know what number 13 means in the Bible? Rebellion. God chooses not to be mentioned in verse 13, chapter 1. Ain't that odd? Well, look at Genesis 14. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible... Look here, Genesis 14. Look here. 14 and 4. 14 and 4. You say, how do you know 13 is the number of rebellion? All right. 14:4. Is everybody there? 12 years they served that fella. And in the 13th year, they did what? Fourteen and four is what? That's 3 times 6. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Well, hallelujah. Well, I was trying to think of something how we could end on a good note. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Nothing like that book right there. Amen. Hallelujah.